Welcome to the X-Men Task Podcast. My name is Willie Simpson.
My name is Sonia Rappaport.
And today, Sonia, we are on the 7th episode of Season 5, the 71st episode overall, Jubilee's Fairy Tale Theater.
A real killer of an episode.
The doom is setting in
as
the sun sets on the X-Men animated series.
Mm-hmm.
So, we've finally arrived at that... At the breaking point here.
The ill-fated end of the end.
The end of the show being decent. Well, that's not entirely true. I think there's going to be some fairly well-written episodes coming forward in the future. But I don't really remember them in detail. But this one is probably the worst episode in the entire series.
Let's see what comes up in the future. I don't want to say that
right.
Just yet.
I mean, there was a few like terrible ones that were... released in season 5 that were meant for season 3.
Mm-hmm.
Remember there's the one with Cyclops in the orphanage?
Yeah.
With the poor animation, and that was originally aired as sequence, but we put it in the right sequence in our show.
Uh-huh.
That one was bad. There was another one with Longshot. There was like a sequel to the Longshot Adventures that was terrible as well.
This one was the worst so far.
Yeah, this is like so, borderline unwatchable. I was just waiting for it to end.
Yeah, the animation is the first thing that I want to touch on here. Everything is kind of too round and shiny and bouncy. It's really like...
It's like a bad Disney... It's like a cheap Disney animation from the early 90s, late 80s.
Yeah.
So the famous story is that Saban, in order to cut down production costs, they exported the animation to, I think, a Philippines-based animation studio.
Hmm.
So, you know...
I mean, the drawing style is bound to be different in that case. The proportions of the people are really strange. Jubilee has alternately a very long torso and very short legs.
Well, she's grown up, maybe.
And then sometimes very long legs and a very short torso.
Right. She's also sporting a fetching new mullet as a hairstyle.
Yeah. And she has blue eyes.
Is that...
In this episode, anyway, she has blue
eyes. What does she normally have?
Is that normal?
I have no idea. I haven't been paying attention to the X-Men's eye colors outside of Cyclops.
Aside from that, she looks weird. Everyone else looks weird.
Yeah, it reminds me of just a very poorly animated, like, late 80s, early 90s ABC
cartoon.
Actually, some
of the motion and stuff like that and the drawing style reminds me a little bit of, like, the Sonic the Hedgehog cartoon. Did you ever watch that?
Yes, yeah.
It looks like that.
I mean, I haven't seen it in a million years, so I don't remember... Like I
wasn't like a big fan, but I did watch it a couple of times.
I kind of liked it. It was on early in the mornings before school, and I was way into it. Sonic the Hedgehog cartoon. I mean, I don't remember anything.
I think
that
I
happened.
Just like didn't catch it consistently. I was a fan of. I played that video game a lot as a kid.
Yeah.
So I was like excited that there was an accompanying television show. But anyway, like that very round, bouncy kind of motion.
What about the painted? The painted. Like Disney-esque backgrounds of the gnarled forest trees and sort of...
In this episode?
Yeah, and just the overly lit sunny days.
Yeah, I mean, like, the premise of the episode is that Jubilee's stuck in a cave with a bunch of kids. We'll get into it in a minute here.
Right.
But then she starts telling them a story so they don't realize...
They're in horrible, horrible danger.
A dangerous situation they're in. And to segue between them in the cave...
Oddly topical, but we'll get into that, too.
Yeah, and the actual storyline... They animate in, like, pages of a storybook. But the thing is that she's not really telling the story from a storybook. She's just making it up as she goes along. So I'm not really sure why that segue was necessary.
Yeah, that's pretty bizarre. This episode was loosely, or maybe not even loosely, solidly based on a famous... Well, I don't know how famous it was, but a memorable comic book, Uncanny X-Men number 153, which was... Surprise, surprise, called Kitty's Fairy Tale.
Hmm.
Jubilee, the Kitty Pryde surrogate in the show. I mean, obviously, Jubilee existed in the comics, too. She wasn't invented for the X-Men cartoon. But she was, like, she was the sequel to Kitty in the comics.
Mm-hmm.
Kitty originally was the young teenage girl that joined the X-Men and went under the arm of Wolverine, so to speak. And
mm-hmm.
he was...
Wing?
Right, yeah, the wing, right. So, and then she grew up, and she kind of left the team at some point and joined Excalibur, and then Jubilee was, like, the next version of that.
right.
more or less. So then they picked her for the cartoon because she was a little more updated and modern because she was a mall rat and wore pink sunglasses. I don't know.
All the kids in this episode keep calling her Miss Lee because she's older than them and she's like leading this torch through the caves. Does that mean that her first name is Jubeh?
No, not at all. Her name is Jubilation Lee.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Yeah,
Jubilee Lee.
Yeah, Jubilee Lee. So, you know, interesting name from a familial perspective. Uh-huh. I was watching Curb Your Enthusiasm the other day, and there's an episode where the comedian Richard Lewis is a character on that show playing himself, and he's got an uncle called Lewis. So I always think, like, there are definitely people out there who have those. They're not even just alliterative names. They're, like, double names.
Yeah.
You know, like, you know, maybe like Willie Williams or
Chris Christensen.
Right. Yeah. Those people
a podcaster.
Exist.
He has like a travel podcast or something. Yeah. Yeah.
I do like to get into the heads of parents that like go there with the kid. Is it, I mean, it has to be a joke, right? Like, you can't, the name, or are they just so fond of their last name that they think that they should give the kid their first name as well? That matches the last name.
I couldn't begin to guess.
If you're a parent out there and you gave your kid a similar first name to your own last name, let us know what.
Maybe they just like the ring to it. You know, it's.
I mean, it's kind of cool.
Got like a rhythm. Yeah. To it, it's a little easier to remember.
It's like very. It's very like folksy in a way to do that.
Mm-hmm.
To name, if your last name is Lewis, to name the first.
Well, because if
Lewis.
You have a last name that could also serve as a first name, then probably you have an ancestor who had that as a first name,
and you just have so many kids that now it's time to honor this ancestor, and oh well, it's a coincidence. You think that's
no, it's not a coincidence. It's a way to honor that person.
Yeah, but like I said, like, you know, you want to honor the person. That's the most important thing.
Uh-huh.
You want to honor Uncle Stan, but you're the Stanleys, right? Uh-huh. That's your last name, so
right.
You're just saying like, well, I guess it's more. I guess his name will be Stanley, but we gotta honor Uncle Stanley.
Uh-huh.
And, oh, it's weird, I guess, that his name is Stan Stanley. He'll have to live with that. Oh, well.
See, but otherwise, you could go the other way and have a first name and a last name that are both first names, but different ones, like Stan Lee. His parents could have chosen to name him Lee.
Well,
but they didn't.
I mean, well, the story on Stan Lee, Sonia, I hate to... his real full name is Stanley Liebowitz,
right.
So he shortened it to Lee.
Yeah, but you take my point, right?
Yes, I take your point.
Yeah,
I always like thought that was weird that he shortened his last name to Lee.
Why?
Stan? Well, is he? Was it? I mean, I guess it was probably to. I mean, a lot of Jewish people in showbiz in that era of, you know, 30s, 40s, 50s, they changed their last names.
Yeah.
To make them more Christian, I guess, sounding, or more like American normative,
right?
But like, was the idea behind Stan Lee, was that like a joke? That because his name is Stanley,
yeah.
You think it was a joke,
like a wordplay sort
yeah,
of thing?
Yeah,
I think it was, but I don't know.
I don't know either. I mean, I'm sure it's written in some book. Somebody knows the explanation to that. Let us know about the origin of Stan Lee as well, too, if you're out there. but yeah, we're off to a blazing start here talking about this episode. Yeah, so it is based off an X-Men comic. I have a distinct memory of coming across the comic in the comic book shop when I was 11, 12 years old. It was in mint condition. I could have had it for $2. It was, you know, and it was. I was like, wow. You know, the year was probably like 1995 or 6. And I was like, this is a comic from the early 80s. I'm like, oh, that's pretty cheap for an old comic.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm sure it wasn't too popular back then either.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, some key details. Kitty Pryde tells a similar story to Jubilee about their, you know, she's actually, I think, talking to Colossus's younger sister, Ileana, in the comic. I don't fully remember.
Hmm.
And
does she also make herself the hero of the story?
Yeah, probably. But I know Jean Grey's the villain, because it was just off the Dark Phoenix saga.
Oh, okay.
Right.
So that's different.
Yeah. So, but, I mean, they did base it on a comic, so there's precedence here. But of all the comics to come across...
Yeah,
I mean, come on.
It's kind of a weird one.
Yeah, so... I mean, this episode is not good. Another thing we have to mention, Gambit's voice has changed.
Yeah.
A new voice actor has come in. You know.
It's just hard to replace the older Gambit. Once you have that voice in your head for Gambit,
well, the original guy was amazing.
Yeah.
I mean, he was, I'm sorry for getting his name, but he was an incredible representation of that character. He sold it. This new guy is... it's just like a grim parody of, you know, and I don't mean grim in the way he delivers the voice. It's like too enthusiastic. It's not good either. So here we go. I mean, the animation's bad. The voice acting's not as good. And the plot is terrible. And let's start talking about it. I mean, the most interesting thing about this episode is the premise that's taking place in the real world, quote unquote. So Jubilee is, for whatever reason, leading a field trip of students from another school district, the Squalus School District,
right?
As we see on their bus.
I don't know. I looked it up. There might be one of those in New Jersey, but mainly it's just a town in Italy that was like most popular hit.
It's not some Long Island community district somewhere.
Anyway, so she's like mad that she has to take them on this tour group outing into the cave because Professor X got a call from the president, so
they have to go fly to Washington.
The rest of the X-Men have to fly off in the Blackbird
Wolverine,
to Washington.
Wolverine's in his outfit. It's completely, the colors are totally off model. Nothing about it makes sense.
Yeah.
So Jubilee is really angry that she has to lead a field trip of random students. At first I thought, I was like, are these mutant kids? Has Xavier finally opened the doors of the mansion to mutant children that need an education?
But no.
No, they're from another, they don't seem like they're mutants at all.
And they're coming there because apparently there's a whole network of caves,
limestone caves,
the X mansion,
right?
Which means it's even underneath, like another layer underneath the secret like X Men
well, maybe area. It's part of the whole, like, that's how he built the secret underground part of the mansion,
I guess,
where he houses the jet.
It's just it's like famous enough that they're coming from far and wide to see it.
You know, we never talk about like the weird job. I've never thought about it too much, but is the mansion on a cliff overlooking like an ocean or something?
You know, sometimes it seems like it because they have that opening for the Blackbird to fly in and
out
of.
Well, first
of
all, that's what I want to talk about. The magical opening where there's like constantly projecting a hologram on a cliff face that disappears, and then massive hangar doors open up and the jet flies out.
Yeah.
So that's something that's ridiculous, that like a trope of the show we've never really even mentioned.
But I guess the mansion wouldn't be on a cliff. It would be much further inland because that cliff opening opens to like the runway where the Blackbird lands, right? So it'd have to go in a little ways. He owns that whole area underground.
Yeah, I don't know either. But like, I guess the mansion's sort of perched on like a mountainside overlooking something.
Uh-huh.
I never looked at the geography of Salem, New York, or Westchester. Like, I don't know. Is it nearby any like large bodies of water? Is it right on the coast? I'm not even sure myself.
It's like river, like the Hudson River goes up that.
Okay,
that
so,
way, right?
So
I don't know.
Let's just say the X Mansion's perched on somewhere on a scenic portion of the Hudson River, or maybe it is the Atlantic Ocean. I don't know.
Yeah, maybe.
Anyway, so that's something funny. So she's leading them on a tour of these limestone caves, and there's a cave-in. Right? Is that the right word for it?
I don't know.
If you're inside a cave and it, like, the cave collapses, I think it's called a cave-in.
Could be.
Yeah. So, there's a cave-in. Jubilee, like, really does not panic in the slightest. It is kind of scary. I mean, the place is rumbling, and she doesn't, like, she tells him to get against the wall at first, but the rumbling continues throughout the episode, and she's not, like, I don't know, I'd be panicking, and
It was smart of her to tell the kids to get up against the wall. You know, speaking of Sonic the Hedgehog, you know, there's like a level where at the end, like, Dr. Robotnik makes like this whole cave level like shake, and all the stalactites start falling from the ceiling, and if one of those hits you as Sonic, you die because it's pointy.
Right.
And anyway, that's what I was picturing.
Right. That's a common enemy in video games, is like pointy rock things falling off the ceiling. That also happens in Mario Brothers, and I think even some
true.
Like Turtles in Time, maybe even some Metroids and Game Boy games. Yeah.
Right. So
I mean,
anyway,
and I was afraid as a kid too, looking up if there's something pointy on a ceiling like an icicle, I'd be like, oh my god, is it gonna fall?
It's gonna impale me.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I thought maybe that was gonna be a danger to these kids inside the cave when this, like, we don't know if it's an earthquake or some like mutant-related activity that's, like,
It turns out it's just totally natural in the end. Spoilers for those who refuse to watch this episode.
Right.
It's just the cave collapsed. What a bad timing. Much like I said, kind of topical. I mean, we just got over the crisis of the Taiwanese... Was it Taiwan?
No,
it was Thai. The Thai soccer team of, like, 14-year-olds that got trapped in the cave when their soccer coach took them on a trip.
Right.
And they were trapped there for weeks.
Yeah.
And then
very similarly, he, like, kept them calm with like stories and meditation and
stuff. Is that true?
That's what I read, yeah.
Wow. Okay. So this is maybe the most realistically based premised X-Men show ever. It actually is. Nothing.
This part of it, yeah.
Well, pretty much the whole episode. Well, there's the fairy tale she tells, which is clearly a fantasy.
Yeah.
But in the reality of the show, it's a totally believable premise involving basically no superpowers.
Right, which is a little puzzling when I was watching and right. the cave first collapses and the opening had been right there, I guess. They just walked just a into boulder. The cave. She leads the kids away so that they don't know that they're trapped in there. But then I was wondering why she doesn't use her own superpowers to, like,
start blasting
the rocks away.
Yeah, I thought so, too. You gotta at least try. I mean, I guess maybe her fear is, although she doesn't express it, and I don't know if she's even smart enough, but maybe her fear is that if she keeps shooting more,
the rocks will collapse
anymore. Yeah, it's just dangerous and stupid to try that.
I also thought maybe she didn't want the kids to, like, see or hear her using her powers.
That might be true as well. Because
the kids, as they're walking in the cave, they're asking her, oh, what kind of school does Professor Xavier run? And she doesn't say anything about mutants, and these kids clearly are not mutants. She just says, oh, it's pretty experimental.
Yeah, but that's kind of bizarre because the X-Men have made a point in the recent episodes to talk about they're sort of like their place as mutant advocates. And obviously they're flying to see the president in this episode. And they've been very public in these courtrooms we've seen advocating on behalf of mutant rights and fighting against the Friends of Humanity. They seem really well known. Like Beast is famous within the world of this cartoon. He's recognized on the street. So
maybe Jubilee just isn't ready to talk about it yet.
So anyway, they're trapped in this cave. Jubilee is weirdly calm, and she decides to tell the kids a story to let the time go by. Oh, she has a beeper, so she's really confident the X-Men will find her. It's referred to as a SATCOM 2000 digital beeper.
The kids are real impressed that she has this.
Height of technology. There's like a kid in the cave who's really like fancies himself as smart and knows about things. Mm-hmm. He's always making dumb references about like the Lime Cave. It's as big as 3 football fields or something. And he's, like, really into it. Some of the kids are scared. I'd be really scared as a kid. I would not be happy. I would not want to hear a story either, probably. So she starts telling a story. And, man, do I not want to get to the story. I'm trying to think of anything else to talk about. So, basically, it's a magical, dumb fairy tale about an ancient kingdom.
Like a medieval-style story.
You know what? This is also oddly topical, too, in a sense, because you were away last week, and I was sitting around doing nothing. Uh-huh. And I was like, oh, I'll watch the new Netflix series, Disenchantment.
Oh, yeah.
I'm, like, a huge Simpsons and Futurama fan, as many of us are, you know? And I was like, how could this be bad? It's got the same writers as Futurama and The Simpsons. You know, Matt Groening co-created it. Although his involvement in co-creation seems kind of like, he probably just is like, let's do another cartoon, and he gets all his writers to come up with the ideas. And a lot of the voices from Futurama and Abby Jacobson from Broad City, who I find humorous, I was like, this is probably going to be really funny. And I watched like the first 5 or 6 episodes, and it was just not good. And it was so disappointing. And it's just, to me, like another, like, nail in the Netflix coffin of me starting to think, like, should I cancel my Netflix subscription? Like, Netflix sucks. Like, I'm just, all the new shows that seem so cool and exciting, they just die in the vine for me when I actually start watching them. I mean, I really love Stranger Things season 1. But then season 2, I really was, like, did not think was as good.
We're procrastinating here.
Oh, I'm okay. I'm procrastinating. I don't give a shit. I didn't think Stranger Things season 2 was good. I lost, like, total interest in all the Marvel shows. You know, I loved Daredevil season 1, but then, like, season 2 didn't like as much. And
yeah.
I liked Jessica Jones season 1, but then season 2 I didn't even really watch for whatever reason. And Luke Cage, like, I thought fell off in season 1. Maybe season 2 is better. I haven't watched that. Like, I just don't care anymore about the Netflix Marvel shows. Mm-hmm. I mean, all their other original programming, I'm just, like, not that into. And they don't have any movies, like, good classic movies. Not even, they don't even have to be super famous, but just like, hey, you know, like, I want to watch a bunch of Arnold Schwarzenegger movies. And they don't, like, have any, you know what I mean? It's like, what is Netflix anymore? And they say, like, all these amazing things. Like, we're investing, like, $8 billion in new programming for next season. We're going to have put out, like, 400 shows and movies. Mm-hmm. And you're like, cool, but then they come out and they're just not awesome. I don't know. Like, I'm getting, you know, bring on the Disney streaming channel. So I don't know. Anyway, Disenchantment, not so great.
Jubilee Story, also not so great.
Right. So the premise is that there's a Crystal McTaggart, and all the references here are so lame and like not at all interesting or cool or anything. So obviously after Moira McTaggart, there's a Crystal McTaggart. Half of it is controlled by the evil Magnus, who's obviously Magneto. The other half is missing. If he gets the two crystal halves, he's going to be all-powerful. So basically, in this medieval kingdom, Gambit's on the run. The new Gambit, the new crappier Gambit. And he has the Magneto's like robot knight things are after him. And they're so lame. They're just like these weird floating automatons.
They're made of metal, but there's no body to them. It's, it's like only the suit of armor, but it's but they seem artificially to have, like animated.
Yeah, they seem to have individual personalities, though.
And they're so easily defeated.
Yeah, they're very easily defeated. Gambit comes along like a caravan. He needs to be hidden. Longshot is driving the caravan. He does nothing to help. Like he doesn't even have a line, I don't think. Mm-hmm. He's just there stupidly,
and then with a lot of anticipation from all the people around, Jubilee shows up.
Right, she's built up as this mythical folk hero that no one even thinks she's real, and she is real, and she's like a way more powered version of herself.
She's like an elf person with like pointy ears.
Yeah, she looks like a Vulcan. She can flip around and she shoots her firework power, and she's really confident and brave.
Uh-huh.
And Gambit actually hits on her, weirdly enough, I thought. There was a scene where...
I know. I was like, oh, is that, like, a hint that Jubilee has, like, a romantic crush on Gambit in real life? Or, like, what's
Or maybe
going on?
She just thinks that, like, in this fantasy, I'm so beautiful and confident that people are just naturally attracted to me.
Maybe.
I mean, that's fine. You know, it's a young woman's fantasy.
on her journey from... What is it? Moscow to Minsk.
Rochelle.
Sorry, go ahead.
So they easily dispatch these robot knight guys, and then Wolverine appears. He looks like a cross between Wolverine and the Hulk. He's green, and he's a troll, and Jubilee refers to him as disgusting looking.
Yeah.
Those are her words. And that's like, is that what she really thinks of Wolverine in real life?
You know? I hate this incarnation of Wolverine.
Oh my God.
It's awful.
And Cal Dodd is really doing his best to like give him his Wolverine voice a troll inflection.
Yeah.
Which seemed like that must have been tough on his voice to do, but this is horrendous. He's not at all like Wolverine in any way. He's just like a dumb character. And then, I mean, what to even talk about? Like, Gambit says that he's hidden the other crystal in the Guild of Thieves den, so they travel to some weird monstrous cave. They go inside. They're being stalked by Sabretooth. They, like, behind, in one of the, inside the cave, there's another, like, stupid reference where it's, like, Mojo's face is carved into the rock, and mm-hmm. that's the cave that opens up to this, like, treasure room.
Yeah.
And, anyway, Sabretooth is there. He attacks Jubilee, and Jubilee, like, completely kicks his ass. Like,
and she, like, mocks him. She, like, taunts him the whole way. She's not a graceful winner.
No.
At all.
They get the other crystal half. Then, like, in the woods, they get a message from Xavier the Wizard, whose voice seems a bit affected, too. I'm not sure if they've replaced the actor of Xavier. I don't think they have, but my memories of the last episode, Graduation, I feel like it was a different voice actor. Yeah. Maybe I'm just out of my mind. We'll see when we get there. Anyway, he tells Jubilee that, like, if you're the secret to the crystal, if you combine it, you'll figure out the way to defeat Magnus for good. So it's like her destiny. They break in.
Like, all right, we gotta go marching into Magnus's lair.
Right, and then it's like they find a secret entrance, but then it's, of course, someone says, this is too easy.
Yeah.
And it was all a trap. The Wolverine troll has the stupidest line. He's like, we've been set up! Which Wolverine has said in the show hilariously at other times, but here it's just, like, sad and tired. Anyway, Magneto gets the crystal. Jubilee's the only one who can make it go together, and he blackmails...
By blasting it with her fireworks.
Right. He
doesn't make sense.
He blackmails Jubilee into doing it by saying, I'll kill Logan if you don't. So, of course, she does. And then, like, his first act is having all this power. He's like, I'll destroy my own robot goons, whatever you are. And he just, like, kills all his helpers. Like, why? And the fact that he doesn't even know what they are is so stupid. So, and then, you know, it all backfires on him. Because he's got all this power, he's now too powerful. Oh, no, Jubilee starts blasting him. He's like, oh, you're only making me more powerful, Jubilee. She's like, that's the idea. And then he can't control his magnetic power, and he gets, like...
all the metal in the room starts flying at him. The robot, the armor suits, little, like, screws in the walls, like, everything just, like, clobbers him
right.
from his own magnetic power.
So he's defeated rather easily. Yeah. At this point, in the real world, the X-Men find Jubilee... everyone's safe. They head back to the mansion for hot cocoa. And then the kids, before they leave, they demand to know what the happy ending to the story is. Basically, in this fictional world, Jean and Scott are the prince and princess, or the king and queen.
I guess.
Yeah, and they say, Jubilee, you're a princess. You'll have to... And by the way, Jean's voice is horrendous.
It's like shrill and...
annoying.
Yeah.
So... Jubilee is like, oh, you'll have to go to finishing school and learn, like, politics and do a bunch of boring things.
But don't worry, you can do it. And she, like, sneaks off and, like, puts on her regular elf outfit again and goes walking out the palace doors with Wolverine, mm-hmm. troll Wolverine.
And Logan's like, are you sure you don't want to...
And Gambit.
Yeah, you sure you don't want to... You're giving up being a princess? And she's... like, she qualifies it. She's like, well, maybe I'll do it later, but right now I still want to have fun in my life.
Yeah, there's a lot of adventures to be had in the world, she says.
Right, so that's that.
So I don't know what that's supposed to be a metaphor of.
I mean, to me, it made me sad in, like, comparing it to my life right now. we start grad school. Well, I start grad school this Monday. You've already been going to summer grad school. And, you know, we're in our early 30s. Me now, almost my mid-30s. Is 34 the end of my early 30s or the beginning of my mid-30s?
It's both.
Anyway, so I start grad school this Monday, and I'm like, I have mixed emotions about it, and I'm pursuing a very boring professional degree related to my job.
So this is your equivalent of becoming a princess?
Yeah, it's like, I don't want to become a princess. I want to go and still have fun and you know, like, have my weekends and days free. I don't want to write term papers and, you know, and I'm working full-time, obviously. It's like, so I just wish I could run away and be free with my forest friends.
With Logan and Gambit.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, so that is, like, a bummer. I do, like, side with Jubilee there. Like, you know, having to do stuff in the real world is sad.
I just feel like her confidence is really arrogant here. Oh, maybe I'll be a princess later, as if that's a door that just opens up to everyone yeah. at any moment that they want it. Later,
right.
I'll do that.
Right, I mean, it leads to the question, are you, like, princess... Is she princess by blood? Did we miss a line of dialogue or something?
No.
Is this a secret? They're just like, we're going to make you a princess.
Yeah.
Yeah. So this episode's super lame, super bad. I still give it, you know, 5 out of 5 stars.
What? No.
No, I mean, it's like, yeah, it was really hard to get through. It was painful to look at. It's just like such a shame. It's like weird that, like, the everyone that made the show was okay with it ending in season 4 with the Beyond and Good Evil and Evil epic. They're like, oh, we did a good job.
Yeah,
we really told the tale.
Right.
And then, like, why did the company order more? And then if you're
because
gonna,
it was successful and really good.
Yeah, but so then, yeah, but that was after 4 seasons. So it's like, but if it was
halfway
over,
into the 5th season, it was still really good. Like, the last 2 episodes
yeah.
were amazing. They could make those 2 into a movie, you know? But
well, I'll have to check the previously on X-Men book. I wonder if a lot of the episodes we saw in season 5, the good ones, were meant for season 4, and then they just, like, saved them for the start of season 5.
Yeah, that could be.
And then they ordered the last several for the to, like, to round out a 5th season.
Right.
I think that's probably more, like, what happened. But either way, it's just like, it's like, why order more episodes if you're not going to put any money to them and you don't care anymore?
Yeah,
it's just like, what a, like, what a horrible cash grab by the, I guess, the producer's part. Not like
right.
the
like
creative
instead
producers.
Of going out on a high note, you just really, like, drive it into the ground first.
yeah just like, it's let's get some, like, squeeze some more money out of it.
I was hoping that this episode, like, when they started getting really bad, that it would be that type of bad show that's fun to watch because it's so bad, like so bad that it's good. But
this didn't really have an element to that. This was just bad, bad.
Yeah.
You know, like I said, I think there are some good ones coming up. There's at least one good one that I know of. At least one that I enjoyed as a kid. I don't really remember them that much because if you rewatch them like I did over the years, you just kind of stop at this point in season 5.
Yeah.
You're like, forget it. All right, so that's Jubilee's Fairy Tale Theater. It really stinks. We hope to have more fan guests coming up. So that'll be exciting in the last few episodes. And we have a lot more content going forward. We'll see how, we've been like, I'd have to give us an A+ on the way we've regularly pumped these things out for you fans because we've like not missed a week more or less. I wonder in the future though, both of us, like I said, are going to grad school. We might slow down a bit with the release. I'm still going to keep the podcast going. So it's not going anywhere, but like, I wonder if we'll be able to like do a weekly release.
Yeah.
I think we're going to try to like get through the end here on a weekly basis if we can.
Yeah.
But if there is an interruption in the schedule, we apologize. We're trying our best, but our plates are getting ever fuller with our princess training duties, right? So that's all I have for this episode. I will say our plugs. Follow me on Twitter at Willie Simpson. Join the X-Men Task podcast Facebook group where you can communicate with us, interact with us, tell us about some stuff that we don't know. Obviously, in this episode, there was a lot of gaps in our knowledge. So just search out X-Men Task podcast in Facebook and you should find it. And rate and review us 5 stars in whatever podcast service you use. Sonia, any final words of wisdom before we depart this week?
No, let's enjoy our romantic journey from Milan to Minsk.
Okay. All right, goodbye, everybody.
Goodbye.